What's this? A fourth hour of Dirt and Sprague?
If you saw a UFO, would you tell anybody?
Who gave these guys an extra hour?
Yeah. Not be fearful of people looking at you like you're crazy. Have you met me?
Dirt and Sprague.
What if you got probed? How's your Monday?
I got probed.
Dude. And they dropped me off in time for the radio program.
It's a hell of a Saturday, man.
It's a hell of a weekend.
At least they got you back in time for work. I didn't have to do a solo show. Shout out to the aliens.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 FM. The Fan.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Hour number four. Happy Monday to you. Hope everybody had a great weekend out there. You did some fun stuff, activities. A little cloudy yesterday. Ready for football season. It picks back up this week.
I go to a football game this week.
You're going to a football game this
Bo
weekend.
Bo Nix.
You're going to go watch an NFL game.
I know.
Will you stay the whole time?
That's, yeah.
Even for a preseason game?
I mean, you know, if it's like 34-7.
It went from a yeah to a...
And the Broncos are up, and it's quickly. Like clearly over, and the fourth quarter's like 9-10 minutes left. I could see me and the wife leaving.
Well, you go to where? Can we look for you? Is the game on the NFL Network? So it's Niners-Broncos, right? Saturday?
Niners-Broncos.
Are you wearing your Levi's? Levi's?
I don't own any Levi's.
No Levi's.
I will be wearing my... Probably my white... Steve Young jersey.
White Steve Young jersey.
The ice white Steve Young 49er jersey.
I started putting a football helmet on Teddy ballgame the other day.
Did you?
Just to get him used to it.
The Niners will not be live.
Ah, tape delay game on
so
NFL Network.
It's like a 5 o'clock game at some point. Oh, well, nice. NFL Network will show
every show them
game,
all, yeah.
But they won't be live. It is the Jets-Packers game that will be live in that time window.
Have to see Justin Fields. Eagerly awaiting.
Is he going
to
play?
I don't know. He was going to die.
The game this week, of all the games, the game this week.
Give me the takeaway. What's the best preseason game this week? I haven't looked at the schedule yet.
Guess who's coming back?
Who's back, baby?
Hey, Gino. Hey, Pete.
Oh, we got that. That's week
one. We got Raiders at Seahawks.
Raiders at Seahawks.
Thursday.
Okay, that's pretty good.
You're not going to be able to talk about it on Friday.
No, yeah, Raiders, see, that's 7 o'clock Thursday night. Hold on, let me see if I can find a better preseason game one.
You can't. There's not a better storyline than that.
That's the best storyline for you?
I mean... A preseason, there's no other storylines. Why also, they dropped the ball on that. How is that not a Monday Night Football game? Like,
yeah.
I know that might not be the cross. Like, you got to make
I don't think we get
crossover.
Monday Night Football yet.
No.
I'm saying like this should be a regular season
and
game.
And a regular season
Pete
game?
Pete Carroll coming back to Seattle is a regular
well,
season
the,
game.
The regular season's a formula. Like, it's...
You know, just cook it up for ratings, man. For... What do you think this is, a Savannah Bananas? They got guys on stilts for ratings?
Yeah, they definitely don't cook anything up for ratings. Definitely
no.
Doesn't happen.
It's all done by the book, out of principle.
Care to share the number of the Hall of Fame game?
7 million people watch the Hall of Fame
God,
game.
We have a problem, man.
7 million people. And that game was like 30-0 in the second quarter.
There was really no reason to watch after the first quarter.
Can I give you Browns Panthers?
Why would you
Friday at 4 o'clock on the
Why
NFL
are you
Network?
Giving me that?
Shadur
and Gabriel playing for the Browns. Who wins that quarterback job?
Okay,
and Bryce Young year three.
Bryce Young playing?
I don't know if Bryce Young
I don't
plays.
Think he's playing.
Bryce Young year three if he plays.
You think that beats Pete Carroll coming back to Seattle?
I mean, I'm with you. If that would be a bigger deal for me if it was a game that actually counted. Like, if that was game one of the regular season, I'm with you. That would be pretty high up there on my list. But preseason,
I know. It makes it a bit of a bummer,
but... It kind of waters it down.
Gino's
you know?
Not playing, is he?
No.
I would imagine Gino's
it's
not going to play.
The idea that Pete's coming
just seeing
back.
Seeing him on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I see what
I mean,
we had
the Russell Wilson game a couple years ago. Give me the Pete Carroll
And that was game one. Remember,
that was
they
game
lost.
One of the regular
and
season.
They didn't call a timeout.
I know.
What was that Nathaniel Hackett? That
yeah.
Dumbass
Nate Hackett.
Didn't know how to call a timeout.
I think he works for the Steelers now.
That sounds about right. Speaking of idiots, how about, and this is just kind of a blanket statement over the last, oh, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, Tyreek Hill. Hello. Welcome to the conversation.
Oof.
Very fast. Giant idiot. That continued this weekend. There's been a number of things that led to this. First, it was Tua saying, wait, excuse me, hold on 1 second. It was
Tua Tagovailoa.
He said that Tyreek Hill needs to work on his leadership and accountability in the locker room. And you remember he demanded a trade in the offseason. And Tua was not happy about that.
I love that.
Tyreek Hill came out and said, you know what? Fine, I'll take that one on the chin. He's probably right. I need to work on that kind of stuff. He also acknowledged, this was either on Thursday or Friday, Mike McDaniel has been in Miami as a head coach for how long now?
This is year four, isn't
it? He's going into year four.
Year four.
Has Tyreek Hill been there the entire time that Mike McDaniel's been there?
Yeah.
Okay. He admitted on Thursday that he finally understands Mike McDaniel's playbook.
Well, he's probably one of the guys that just goes, what do I do? Got it.
Run.
Bye.
Run that way. That's basically what he's known, and now he's saying, I finally understand the nuance of the offense. Going into year four, when he's probably going to get traded at some point this year, well done, Tyreek Hill. That then follows up with this press conference that happened on Friday. Tyreek Hill has not liked their short yardage package in the red zone.
Take Devon out on third down. What? You want to? You? That's my honest opinion. If it's third and short, he's not a power back. I be telling him that in the locker room, but he a power back. I love Devon, though, but if I'm being honest, like, that's why you got Jalen Wright. That's why you got Ollie Gordon for those kind of situations.
He's saying take Devon Achane out of the game in third and short, third and goal situations. What are we doing? It happened a few moments later. His head coach walked up to a press conference and said this.
I thought it was genius reporting by Tyreek, seeing how we had a short yardage period that very day that you guys were in attendance for. And his suggestion was, I guess, congruent with Coach Studsville. That's exactly how we repped the backs in that short yardage period that very day. But we thought it was funny that he reported the news that wasn't news on that practice day in that short yardage period that you guys were all there too for.
Things are going great. Also on Friday's practice, just to put a little cherry on top of how things are going in Miami for that wonderful citizen, Tyreek Hill had spent the days previous to practice saying it was very important to show up early to make sure the team is there to stretch together and get loose so they avoid injuries. And Tyreek Hill showed up late for practice on Friday and was not able to stretch before practice began.
I said this about Dallas earlier. Miami's in this too. Like, you do not want the noisy, sloppy, messy team in camp.
No.
You want the team that's handling their business, and you got to go to websites to even know what's happening, because nobody even talks about it. There's nothing even being reported. This is gross. And I kind of feel for people involved, but also they've put themselves in this spot here. They should have traded this dude. He is the Jim Harbaugh of wide receivers. He is great. He has a shelf life.
Yes.
And I am not a believer. I think he took a slight step back last year. I don't think he, you know, we saw a list where he was ranked third on the ESPN thing. I don't think he is that. Especially in their biggest of moments, like early in the season when the weather's great.
He's killing it.
He's fun. Let's do a team dance. At Kansas City, playoff game. It's too cold. No catches. Like, I'm not a big Tyreek guy, and they're kind of reaping what they sow by keeping him. He's been kind of nothing but a headache now for about a year. He's had off-the-field issues, multiple of those, and now he's got this where he's overstepping and basically saying teammates' names out loud of, no, that guy can't rush. He can't get a touchdown. Like, just don't worry about it, man. Like, we'll handle that internally.
You don't make personnel decisions. You're not the head coach. Who's going to trade for him? That's my follow-up.
Well, nobody, obviously, because they have him. They would have traded him.
At some point, don't you think somebody gets desperate and needs a wide receiver? Because he has that ability.
Dude, he's making $30 million a year. He's 31 years old.
There's got to be an eating of money kind of situation for sure there if you're doing it.
I feel for Mike McDaniel, and I know he is a bit of a polarizing coach because we love to play his clips, and other people are like, yeah, right, dude, you can't trust this guy. He's not a football guy. I'm still a believer in it. I think people can grow and they can learn. I think what's tough is you can't evolve and grow situations when certain people aren't advancing your culture, right? Like, things have to change and morph and tweak, and I just don't know if I'm a believer that Tyreek Hill is that guy. So, boneheaded comment, unnecessary, comes out, demands a trade, craps all over Mike McDaniel, and then walks it back, and then the quarterback has to say he's got to earn our trust back, and just a mess, dude. Like, if I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, I have no expectation this team's going to be good this year.
Tua Tagovailoa.
How much of that money would they have to eat in order to contemplate it if you're another NFL GM? He's got – so after – I think after this year you can get out of the deal, but this year – His cap hit is $28 million.
Yeah.
So after this year, there's a dead cap number that goes way down to like $15 million. So it's not bad at all for Miami. I don't see him being there long term.
Look, a team will always roll the dice, especially teams in desperate situations.
Like, I'm trying to think around, like, Buffalo willing to take a gamble on that?
Dude, they got rid of Diggs.
I know.
They got rid of Diggs for the same reason. Why are you doing that?
I know. Because they can't win the big one. or haven't won the big one, I should say.
I think you'd have to look to the NFC.
Look to somebody in the NFC?
Or who's a boneheaded team that does a move that says, like,
because the only reason you're doing it is out of, like, we feel like this is the one piece if we, like, because you're not just taking a flyer on Tyreek Hill just to sell tickets. That doesn't make any sense. It has to be a team that, Green Bay would never do it, but Green Bay is an interesting one. They're
Green
high
Bay,
on their rookie.
They just drafted Matthew Golden. Yeah, I don't think they're not going down that avenue.
Niners, I don't see doing it.
It's tough, dude. Yeah, you have to tough. Really look through the teams and say who is
Philly
it?
Doesn't need any help.
I'm not saying he's going to be out of the
NFL. Dallas added Pickens already. Yeah.
Well, Dallas is stupid, so I could see Dallas doing something stupid. Tennessee?
Yeah.
Tennessee's best player just got hurt.
They
Cam
have no
Ward
wide receivers.
Needs a target. Like, if Miami was going down that route, and right now we have no intel that they are. It was that they tried. It didn't work, so they're going forward. But, like, a Tennessee, I could see doing this. I could see Arizona rolling the dice and saying, although Michael Wilson was really good for them last year.
He was. They're high on.
We'll see what Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be in year two. Maybe
last year, by the way, is the first year since 2019 that he was below 1,000. He played all 17 games. He was below 1,000 yards for the first time since 2019 in his career.
Yeah.
And in 2019, he only played in 12 games. So that's the reason he was below 1,000 that year. And last year, the numbers set. The year before that, though, he had nearly 1,800 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Oh, no, he was phenomenal 2 years
ago. At the age of 29.
Yes.
And so
that was his pop year. That was like his huge year career-wise.
It's one of those that I feel like... I'm wondering if this goes sideways, because I wouldn't be shocked if it went sideways in Miami. This just there's a lot of stink around them right now. This is a fun question. Who's the second best team in the AFC East?
I know people are really hot on
play that game.
I think it's the Jets.
You think it's the Jets?
I'm
Justin
going
Fields,
to ATS, Jets.
Rolling the dice on
I
Justin
am.
Fields.
I'm going to do it.
Swag, second best team in the AFC.
You're
going
to go Patriots. You're predictable.
Vrabel's the most proven head coach.
He's the most proven head coach.
Yeah. With a young quarterback?
I don't know. Throw a blanket over all three of them.
Are they going to have two playoff teams?
No.
Really?
No.
I'd be the other three will be under
500. Is the AFC South going to have two playoff teams?
No.
So all the playoff teams are
yes,
from
the West and the North. Three of the four contend. Yeah. You might have the entire AFC West make the damn playoffs at this pace.
Really?
The rest of the way of the conference. The AFC is very top heavy right now, I feel like. Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. Houston kind of deserves to be in that, what they've done the last couple of years.
Duval.
Here come the Jags. That's Jacksonville's music. So we'll see what happens with Tyreek Hill. He's an idiot and continues to be an idiot. That was an example again late last week. And we'll see if it becomes a breaking point. Maybe they trade him. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting over my skis there. They have an out of his contract essentially after this year. So I see a divorce looming on the horizon for both of them. Let's get to the NFL stuff that mattered from the weekend, and that was the Hall of Fame speeches. Four guys got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also, next year's class, woo, buddy, it's insane. Let's play some of the audio for you. What did it sound like in Canton? That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, we'll talk some NFL Hall of Fame in a moment. Does anybody care about the initial top 25 coaches poll in college football?
Well,
immediate no.
Whose is this?
This is the coaches poll.
Okay, because Joel Klatt released his.
This is not the Joel Klatt poll.
What's
this
more?
Is the coaches poll.
What's got
coaches
more weight
don't
behind it?
Hold on. Probably Joel Klatt's.
Okay.
Because he watches more football than the assistant coaches do.
Okay. So if you believe that, I hate to break this to you.
Oh, where's he got my ducks? Where are my ducks?
Who's number one?
Number one in the Joel Klatt poll?
The Joel Klatt top 25.
The Texas Longhorns.
No.
The Penn State Nittany Lions.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
number two,
Ohio State, Texas.
Ding, 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 ding. Number three,
Georgia.
Nope.
Ohio State.
Ding, 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 ding.
Georgia.
Number four.
Georgia.
No.
Notre Dame.
No.
Clemson.
Ding, 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 ding,
there you go.
Number five,
Notre Dame. Georgia. Oregon.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey.
Top five. You are ahead of Notre Dame, nobody's Georgia, Bama, LSU, Michigan, Miami, Illinois, Florida.
Nobody's talking about us going into the year flying under the radar.
Top five, Joel Klatt.
Coach's poll came out in a shocking development. Wait, groundbreaking stuff. Texas is number one.
What?
Ohio State's number two.
Wow.
Penn State's number three.
Holy cow.
Georgia's number four.
Wow.
Notre Dame's number five.
I can't believe it.
Clemson's number six.
Shocking.
Oregon's number seven.
Oh.
Then Alabama, LSU, Miami. Anybody cares about the rest of it? Texas Tech, who is on your schedule, you get tortillas this year.
Yeah.
They are number 24.
They're 19 on Klatt's.
Boise State, number 25.
Not in the top 25 for Klatt. In fact, I'm looking through right now. He doesn't have a group of five in his top 25.
Hmm.
Which
I mean, I can't really blame him for that.
Who would you, I guess, pick?
I don't know. Because Genty's gone, and it felt like 95% of Boise State's football
Boise
team
State
last year.
Boise State probably ranked, but...
Boise State will likely UNLV? Be the best, but... I actually have a Boise State segment in my notes for this week. God. I don't want to do today, but I'm going to holster it.
A Boise State segment?
I'm still cooking. Let's get to the Hall of Fame ceremony from this weekend. Is it okay if I skip over Eric Allen? Is that all right? Does anybody care? Let's start with Antonio Gates.
His was the longest.
Dude, it's a two-minute clip.
Yeah. Eric Allen was a great player.
Eric Allen's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got a gold jacket.
If I power ranked him because I watched the three...
He's easily in last place of care level for me.
Well, yeah, four. But if I ranked the other three, number one for me was Gates.
Okay.
Number two was Jared Allen. It was very close, number two. And then number three was Sterling.
Well, let's go last to first then. Okay. Sterling Sharp talked about his... family's relationship in the Hall of Fame.
The last time I was here, you said that you were the only pro football player in the Hall of Fame that could say this, that you were the second best player in your own family. Well, I agree with that statement, but it would be an extreme privilege. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have anything athletically of value. But it would be my extreme pleasure for you to be the only player in the Pro Football Hall of Fame with two gold jackets. You see, you have to learn to follow before you can lead.
So I miss Sterling Sharp on TV because he used to be with Boomer, right?
He was, yeah.
This was... a good speech, but also it was weird because the Shannon stuff just happened.
It overshadowed it a little bit, didn't it?
It did. And then, like, emotional moment, a very touching moment between two brothers. And, you know, Shannon famously gave him his first Super Bowl ring. And he said, you deserved this, man.
And he played and got injured and just missed the Green Bay Super Bowl.
And then he went and won the next year. So he ended up getting his ring. And Sterling was wearing the Super Bowl ring. So here's my question. Sterling's wearing Shannon's first Super Bowl ring. So that gift he gave his brother, he took seriously.
He kept it. Didn't give it back.
So Shannon really going to have two Hall of Fame jackets? I found it a little odd. I got to be real here. I love the brotherly love. They clearly have a great relationship. He said, I did everything. Everything I did in my life, I did it for one person. I didn't do it for my whole family. I didn't do it for the critics. I didn't do it for fans. I didn't do it for anything. I did it all for one person. He wanted to be the role model at his kitchen table for his brother.
Yeah, which is really cool.
It was very touching. But then he did the jacket thing, and I'm like,
is he really going to give him his jacket?
Shannon just put that on like a mannequin at his house. Like, what does he do with two
jackets? Two of them, both in the closet at all times. Picks which one he wants to wear.
Touching moment. I hope it was just symbolic and he actually keeps it.
If your brother gave you a Super Bowl ring, would you keep it like that? Like, if that was your brother and said, you deserve this, you helped me get to this point, would you give it back or would you keep it?
Well, I would really try to feel it out. If he was being dead ass serious, I would put it in a case or a vault of some sort.
Right.
But he was wearing it. Like,
Just legitimately wearing it. Like, I got it resized. It fits my finger now. Yes. This is my ring.
Yes.
It's unique. I mean, he deserved one from his time in Green Bay. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Jared Allen, who had a great speech. He's wearing a cowboy hat up there. Jared Allen.
Dude, his was hard at the end. Man. Yes. He was.
Shout out his wife and his daughters got emotional. He also, I think this happened afterwards, but there was a video of him you can go find where he was doing a sack celebration on the stage.
Uh-huh.
And he ripped his pants. He had kind of a tight pair of pants
on. That was in the jacket ceremony on Saturday.
Okay, that was on. It was the same. That's the same day, right? Isn't Saturday the day they did the speeches?
No, that was Friday night. The jacket ceremony is Friday night. They give him the jacket.
Okay, so it's Friday night that he ripped
Friday
his pants.
Friday night they do that, and then
I saw
Saturday,
the video and I didn't know what it was
because that's a private ceremony.
Got it. He was doing his sack, you know, his lasso sack celebration, and you could see him rip his pants and get up and walk off. Here is Jared Allen talking about his formula of greatness.
My why can be summed up with three things: fear, respect, and the pursuit of greatness. And when I talk about fear, I'm not talking about that type of fear that cripples you and makes you avoid something. I'm talking about that healthy fear of failure, that fear that motivates you to do whatever you can to succeed, that type of fear that lets you get knocked down and then realize you don't want to get knocked down again. So you pick yourself up, you learn, and you improve. And respect. I've only played this game for two reasons. the respect of my peers, and the respect of those who came before me. I will never forget the day I got an email from Jack Youngblood telling me that he thought I played the game the right way. That to me is worth more than any All-Pro I've ever gotten. In the pursuit of greatness, when you respect something or someone so much that you want to honor that thing or that person by being the best you can possibly be. That is why I had the NFL sack leaders taped up in my locker every season so I could show up to work and physically see greatness and never allow myself to feel like I arrived.
He had a great story, too, on Willie Rofe, who he was battling in camp and he had a move and he had a good play. The coach got pissed, said, run it again. And he ran it again, and the second time, he said Willie Rofe picked him off the ground, rolled him, slammed him on the ground, and then when he got up, Willie Rofe speared him from the back, and he goes, that's when I learned the NFL is real hard. And then he shouted out Willie Rofe, he raised his hand. He was great. That's he was fantastic hilarious. With his cowboy hat.
Always one of my favorites from afar. Always one of those guys I wish was on my team. He was a funny dude, good sack celebration.
Yes.
Charismatic guy. Always enjoyed watching him play. And last but not least, when you talk about your quarterback, it's good to do it.
That's my quarterback.
Oh, this one some was may tough. Know, some might not know, but when I was a senior at Kent State, I didn't play a down of college football, and Coach Rod Murphy and I were trying to find ways to get me to the next level. At the time, we didn't know what we were going to do, and Coach Hemming Senderoff tried to find ways to write teams to try to get me NFL tryouts. Out of nowhere, they introduced me to a guy named Tim Brewster. And Tim Brewster, Coach Tim Brewster, Coach Tim Brewster, at the time was the tight ends coach for the San Diego Chargers. You see, Tim Brewster saw something special in me. He was pretty sure that I could make the team. He was adamant that I'd be all pro in 3 years. You see, the thing is, when switching sports or careers for that matter, it can be life-changing. The unexpected are often the most powerful ones because it can completely redirect your life if you're ready to take advantage and you're ready for the opportunity. Thanks to Coach Tim Brewster and Coach Marty Schottenheimer, they gave me an opportunity. They gave me an opportunity to play tight end in the NFL. And because of you, Coach Tim Brewster, NFL teams, NFL scouts will never look at college basketball players the same again.
Still pretty cool that we gave this the fact on Friday. First guy to never play a down in college football and make the NFL Hall of Fame. Wild to think, too, like it's just we're in the heels of NFL draft grade season where we got, first round pick, second, who did they get? Mm-hmm. And then here's a guy who was completely unknown who ended up catching more touchdown passes than anybody in the history of the league at that position and now is wearing a gold jacket.
Well, Phillip Rivers goes in next year.
Yes.
And
well, will he?
Well, I mean.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
In my mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will he get enough votes to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Should.
Because Eli Manning was not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
How many?
Who's the better quarterback, Brandon Sprague?
How many no-brainers are there, unless you're saying he's a no-brainer?
So I got it right here.
This is wild. How many of these guys are first ballot Hall of Famers?
Usually limited Breeze? To five.
Breeze has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't think so.
Larry Fitzgerald has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Frank Gore
has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And then Witten?
Jason Witten has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
So there's four. And then after that, it's like who? It's Edelman. Pouncey, McCoy, Dez Olson,
Bryant.
Thomas Bryant, like Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis, I think, has a pretty underrated career. I don't know about first ballot Hall of Famer. Greg Olson, to me, am I wrong in saying Greg Olson?
Three-time Pro Bowler, first tight end to record three straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Greg Olson had an unbelievable career.
The ones I always get confused about are some of the linemen.
I swear to God, if Edelman goes in, we did this debate. We looked up his numbers.
We did. Not, over Phillip Rivers?
It's not... Is Julian Edelman Hall of Famer to you? Really? He is?
It's always hard with these guys because you got to go back and look at their career numbers. Like, if you ask me on the surface level, no, Julian Edelman's not a Hall of Famer in my mind.
Okay, so what's the debate?
Yeah, definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Dude, look at his numbers.
Definitely not a Hall of Famer.
They're not.
He had three 1,000-yard seasons in his career. In his entire career, he had three 1,000-yard seasons.
The catches, I mean, he had... Two seasons of 100 catches.
Yeah, that's... No. Nothing about that other than he played for the Patriots, won a Super Bowl, and caught a really cool pass against the Falcons.
You know what Julian Edelman is? Julian Edelman is an Antonio Freeman of his franchise.
Yes.
He is a Ring of Honor guy that gets to be a Patriot all time. I don't know. I don't watch this every year, admittedly. But when I do, man, I am just so emotional watching it. I'm looking at next year's class, and I kept thinking, like, am I ever going to go to this event? Because this is a time of year usually for us.
We made the down.
It's, FM switch. So, like, usually this time we'll take some days because football's about here. This is an event next year that, like, if my guy Gore gets in, I didn't get to go for Jerry Rice. And that's one of the biggest, like, sports. I wish I could have done that.
Frank Gore would do it for you. He'd get you to go.
Dude, I love Frank Gore, man. And
go
I
to
just,
the game. Go to the ceremony. It'd be a fun little weekend.
Like, the debate on Frank Gore is the dumbest conversation.
He played for a long time, though.
Yeah. And it's weird to knock a guy for being
Where's he
durable.
At all time in the all-time rushing
third.
Leaders? He's third all time.
He's third.
Damn, right. He compiled.
It's Emmitt Smith. It's Walter Payton. Yeah. It's Frank Gore.
It's funny, too, because that was, you know, Hank Aaron is the home run king for a lot of people. So that's kind of what Hank Aaron was at the end. Like, he played for like 40 years.
Dude, him trotting around the bases looks old. He's like, how old's Hank
Go
Aaron?
Look
right
how many
here.
Years he played and what the home run numbers were at the end. He compiled numbers because he played for a long time and was still a good pro. Like, isn't there something to that that should matter in terms of Hall of Fame voting? So, yeah, it's interesting when you look at next year's class because you also got the guys from this year. Like, Eli Manning did not go in as a first ballot guy. Does Eli Manning get in next year?
I think he could.
Yeah, probably.
And if Eli Manning's,
Manning will, yeah, his name will help get him in the second year.
And he's got two rings. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not going to.
He's the Giants' all-time GOAT.
Be upset at that.
Yes.
Him and Philip Rivers thing is going to be very interesting next year.
Well, if he doesn't get in, then I could see Philip not getting in. Because I do think there's always been a tie for them. They were traded for each other in the draft.
Yes.
Eli had the Super Bowl rings. Philip came up short in multiple opportunities when they were good.
And Breeze is the quarterback headliner of this class. Because he is a statistical leader, and not all time, because Brady ended up passing him. But for a brief moment in time, one of the most prolific passers in the history of the league.
Do you think Rivers is first ballot?
I don't think that he's first ballot Hall of Famer, no.
So you think Manning gets in?
I think there's something to the NFL doing it the right way of holding that for a select few of, like,
I'm not mad at
There's
that.
There's not a doubt in my mind at all. There's not a single question that I have. Like, Drew Brees to me is that. Larry Fitzgerald is that. Jason Witten is that. Frank Gore is that. I would argue that I think Greg Olsen could be in that category as well for the career that he had. But maybe they made him
wait
a year.
I think Olsen is just below that tier.
And maybe he is. But that to me is like, I see it and I know it immediately. Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Not first ballot Hall of Famer. That should be reserved for the select few.
So is Witten, Kelsey, and Gronk the same to you? Because that's what we're talking about here to me, is like, if you can put them in the same category of, maybe you differentiate of who's better than the other, but like, they're all time,
like,
rarefied air.
Yes.
Because there's questions on Witten of, not that he wasn't great, but like, is he that level of great? Is he Antonio Gates, Gonzalez, Gronk?
Yeah. To me, I think he belongs. He's like a three-time All-Pro guy. One of the all-time statistical leaders at that position.
Because I think Fitzgerald is in this for the receiver category.
Oh, that's not a doubt at all.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Witten's a debatable one. I would lean yes. For me, I would lean yes.
This is
but
the
I
best
understand.
Hall of Fame in sports. It's not close.
I'll look up all-time tight end stat leaders and see where Witten falls on that. Because next year's class is going to be pretty wild.
Belichick's eligible too, by the way.
Is Jordan Hudson going to introduce him?
We know it's not going to be Robert this. Kraft.
No.
No.
Jason Witten, by the way, real quick, in most categories, is like he's top 10 in most of them. But Kelsey and Gronkowski, to be fair, step ahead.
Mm.
Not in yards, though. In yards, he had Gronk and Kelsey, to be fair. But Kelsey's still got some more playing time. Touchdowns.
Torrey Holt Hall of Famer to you guys? Because he's eligible again.
Yeah. God. Well, let's carry this over. We'll talk a little bit more about this.
I don't know if I feel that way about Terry.
I don't know if I do either.
I think he's good.
I got to remind myself of the numbers. So we'll dive into some of those. Who are the first ballot Hall of Famers for you guys in those classes? We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up next. It's funny how different players will elicit Hall of Fame opinions from people.
I love it.
Patriots fan chiming in being like, dude, I'm a diehard Pats fan. There's no way Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I remember, I think after their last Super Bowl they won together, it became like some random dumb debate. And I remember us talking about it going, not a chance he's a Hall of Fame player.
But you get with those dynasties when you have players who win championships and they have big moments and we conflate that with a Hall of Fame career. Those are two very different things. Julian Edelman had massive moments, but it was a big time player for the Patriots. It's totally different than having a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, one of our listeners was like, he's the Robert Horry.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I think that's fair. Robert Horry was a very good player.
Yes.
But Robert Horry's not, I mean, maybe
all very good.
Basketball Hall of Fame is a little bit different.
Now, Torrey Holt has numbers, but I didn't. See, this is where you get into tough territory. If he gets in, I'm not going to be like, you know what's bothering me.
Right.
But when I watched him, I don't know if I feared him the way I feared other. Like, Isaac Bruce terrified me. I was like, damn it, dude. And that was before the Rams were great. I'd be like, yo, this dude on the Rams is a problem. I didn't always feel that way about Torrey Holt.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And that's probably somewhat disrespectful, but kind of Hall of very good.
Let me ask you this on Jason Witten, worthy of first ballot. In terms of all-time tight end numbers, Tony Gonzalez, of course, is the king of kings.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Witten is number two all-time in catches.
Okay.
Travis Kelce is 200-something behind him. So he's
probably
got a ways to go. I don't know how many more years Kelce will play.
Right.
After that, it's Antonio Gates and Sharp. They're retired. And then it's Zach Ertz. It's like 400 catches away. Won't touch him. So number two all-time in catches. Maybe holding firm on that for a while.
Uh-huh.
Number two all-time in yards. About 2,000 yards behind Tony Gonzalez.
Yep.
Seventh all-time in tight end touchdowns.
I mean, you have to give me the stats. I will fully...
Sixth all-time in touchdowns at tight end.
Fully acknowledging in the same way I just said about Isaac Bruce, like, if your team played the Cowboys in Witten's day, you always were like, he's going to get an 8-yard crossing route, and he's going to get 12 yards here. I know it, damn it.
He's going to fight for that first down.
And he did. And so, like, you give me those numbers, yeah.
First ballot?
First ballot.
Greg Olson, a little bit further down the list on most of these categories.
Greg Olson's not first ballot. Yeah, I love Greg Olson.
I do too. Not quite first ballot Hall of Famer. But next year's class is going to be pretty crazy and that'd be a fun trip to go on, man. Going to Canton, seeing the preseason game just for fun on a Thursday night.
No other Hall of Fame makes me want to go anymore. Like, baseball lost me. Basketball's a joke.
Baseball I would only go to if I was in... It's like if I'm on the East Coast in the area and it's like, hey, do you want to take a little two-hour drive up there? And they're like, all right, let's go make a day trip out of it. I'm not making a trip just to go to the Hall of Fame.
I'd be almost as excited to see where Larry David dropped the blue pill.
Right.
At Cooperstown, as I would be.
Guy's
to go
been
in the
juicing, man.
Hall of Fame.
Guy's been juicing. Get him
juicing
out of here.
Juicing Larry.
He's juicing Larry. Let's get to Fair or Foul to close up the show. And we got to answer the poll questions. We'll wrap it up on a Monday. Next, 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, Fair or Foul to wrap up the show today.
I love a good Fair or Foul. I've noticed other shows, I know they had The Firm. They end with their closing arguments. You get it?
Oh, yes. The final plea to the jury.
I love a good fair or foul.
Fair or foul? Stealing signs in the Little League World Series. Fair or foul?
I'm going to go foul here, Bob.
You're going to go foul.
Can we stop stealing signs?
What if it was the kid's idea?
Like,
what if they picked up on it on their own? They were like, oh, he's calling fastball.
Certainly that can happen.
Right, that's a little bit different than the parents saying, hey, look for the fingers and then give this, like, putting the cheating mechanism in front of them if the kids figured it out on their
own. If we're going to say foul, well, it happens still in Major League Baseball. It doesn't happen to the Astro level.
It does. There was a regional, the Southwest regional, this happened, Oklahoma versus Texas West.
I saw this.
We're playing, and the umpires had to stop the game because they had to go ask the tournament director for a ruling on a base runner who was stealing signs and tipping locations to the hitters at the plate. So they ruled, they're like, we can't really do anything about this. They couldn't, what are you going to cancel the game? Like, you can't, it's all kind of on them, change your signs. First pitch after the ruling was a go-ahead grand slam by the Tulsa team.
Yeah.
They were down 4-1 in the top of the fifth inning, called it, hold on, kid comes back out. Boom, it's a grand slam.
Okay, I'll retort, fair or foul, Venezuela not being allowed to participate in our Little League World Series.
Foul. I'm going to go foul on that one. Why didn't we let them in? Venezuela can't come play?
I think we know why.
It is literally the World Series. There's teams from Japan. There's teams from all over the place. It's the World Series.
I'm not going to try to guess on the air why. I was I saw a story that they were not allowed to.
Well, you know, kids cheating. I think you got to start him young, man. Teach him winning at all costs. Winning's all that matters.
Fair or foul. How about this update to our conversation last week? I follow somebody that has a business at Lloyd Center.
Oh, yeah.
He posted this weekend, could you help raise a GoFundMe so I can relocate my business? They're destroying Lloyd Center next year.
Like, the city's tearing it down?
I'm not reporting anything. I'm telling you what he posted, and so
new
maybe he's
NBA
just
arena.
Did Kotek work that quickly?
Dude, if Kotek did it, she'd turn her favorability rating.
Would
way
that flip
around.
It? Would she yes, be yeah. everybody's
if
on board with Tina Kotek?
That got rid of some of the stuff that's around, some of the ugliness.
Not some great stuff there.
And there's not great stuff there. Yeah. But he was trying to raise GoFundMe money because he's like, they're tearing it down. And so I checked the comment section and somebody was like, they're really tearing it. He's like, yep, it's happening. They're just not talking about it. And I'm like, oh.
All right.
I had no idea.
Well, that's nice to know. Swag, are you pro or anti Little League World Series sign stealing?
If kids are smart enough to figure it out, okay, fine. As long as there's nothing orchestrated going on, but if the kids are smart enough to do it out there in the course of a game, and then they are still talented enough to, you know, execute and hit pitches, fine.
It's very brave of you considering your team lost a World Series to a sign stealing team.
That was orchestrated. No.
Did you see them get mad this weekend at the Red Sox?
No. Why'd they get mad?
Sign stealing.
Oh, the Red Sox are stealing their signs?
They were accusing.
Like, if the dude's on second base and he's in there.
You flipped that one on you. Didn't see that one coming, did you?
There's a little bit of a dugout. Like, they had to be broken up.
You guys started yelling at each other and stuff. Let's get to the poll questions today. Did you or do you have your a leash for your kid? 93% of people say no, they do not.
One person did say, I have a two-year-old, and I don't judge that as much anymore.
Hmm. I mean, I get the theory behind it as I'm chasing my kid around a public. Like, I understand the argument for it. I would never do it.
I'm out.
I texted my wife that I loved her this morning. She has not responded. So,
dude, you did a whole segment calling her out.
Hey. We did a segment together.
I didn't know that topic was going to be on the show.
We're all in this together, guys, okay?
My wife made me coffee for this morning. She's an angel. She's fantastic.
I love my wife. She's the best thing that ever happened to me.
You're dug in. You're
wife
too late.
Took me out to dinner. How about after that? Wine tasting on Saturday. Oh, it was
that must
lovely.
Be nice.
Hey, Dirt,
try that.
My wife let me play golf yesterday.
Not anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Hope you enjoyed. It's your last time.
That might
your
be last my last time. Tea time.
You
gotta
go
summer.
Home.
It's Trump time.
I'll report back tomorrow. Thank you.
Expired.
Do all the AL playoff teams fear the Seattle Mariners more than any other team in baseball or the American League? 73% of you say no. Which player will start a higher percentage of their team's games this year? Scoot Henderson beating out Anthony Richardson, 66-34.
I know we did a good poll question on that because we had Danny Moran going, oh.
Couldn't even, yeah, it's a tough one. Are you pro or anti Savannah Banana? 58% of you say pro.
Yeah.
So,
have
slightly
a good time.
New.
He's so mad about the anti Portland pickle.
Which preseason top 25 college football ranking do you respect more? The coaches poll or Joel Klatt's
Where's
poll?
Where's this at?
60-40, Joel Klatt's poll early on.
He knows 60. Ball.
I mean, yeah, he's not ball. A random assistant coach that's voting on the top 25 who doesn't watch anything. This is where I will say, like, the preseason stuff is hilarious to me. Of assistant coaches at programs randomly ranking teams.
Or sports information directors.
Or sports information directors.
They work hand in hand.
And then you have to have a number by your name. Like, that team gets a number by their name the first week of the season as a top 25 matchup because some random assistant coach thinks that you're a top 25 team in the country. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed the show, you can go find the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we're done. Big little show. I got a lot in my notes today that I didn't even get to today. There was a story on college football, national title contenders we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic got an extension this
weekend.
I know.
We didn't talk about Luka.
Didn't talk about
LeBron
that at all.
Not at the press conference.
My delightful Boise State segment.
LeBron's kind of making me root against him now. It's kind of odd.
You turning heel on LeBron's heel turn?
He's been in the game too long. He's doing things. Yeah. I'm like, why are you doing this?
Clipper gear or Clipper workout stuff?
There's a caveat to that story.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Go check the podcast wherever you get it. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Moran is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM, The Fan.